In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless you. This is the first day of the Nativity Fast. It always begins on November 15th, according to the church calendar. Now, you add 13 days, and that's the 28th on the civil calendar. And obviously, it falls sometimes or most of the time after Thanksgiving. So basically, usually on Thanksgiving sometimes or usually after Thanksgiving, the Nativity Fast begins. It has a different character than the Lenten Fast. We're abstaining from food, that is to be sure, but it has a feeling of joyful expectation. The Lenten Fast is really for us to concentrate on our own sinfulness and to repent of our sins and to think about what is wrong with us. You should really do that every day. But the Nativity Fast also has this aspect of joyful anticipation of the coming of the Savior into the world. Now, we anticipate by preparing. This is a difference between the Orthodox Christians and most other people in this country or in Europe. They think of the period of Advent or the period of before the Nativity of the Savior as a time of partying and feasting. They feast before the feast. There is no church feast in which we feast before the feast. We should fast before the feast and prepare ourselves before the feast. It's an easier fast than Lent, less rigorous, but it is a fast. And it is for your preparation. And really, you get out what you put in. If you prepare by trying to keep the fast, attending the services, reading scripture, praying, then the Nativity will have deep meaning to you. It won't be just another day. It won't disappoint you. Now, here are the general rules for fasting. I must tell you that if you have difficulty fasting, or if you don't fast, or if you're kind of in between about fasting, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, then you should talk to me. Because the pastor always talks to his flock individually about fasting. But the general rules are these, that we would all be blessed and encouraged to do. You're not blessed or encouraged to not do them and not talk to anybody. If you talk to me, then we work things out. Perhaps you have a weakness in something, or perhaps you have a medical condition, or perhaps there's some other aspect in your life that I would know, and therefore you would fast differently. But in lieu of that, this is the general typicon for fasting. Throughout the entire fast, of course, we would not have animal products, which means meat, cheese, milk, eggs, any animal product, anything from a land or air animal. And then on weekdays, Monday, Wednesday and Friday are so-called strict fast days. In addition to not eating animal products, we also do not have wine or oil. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, the fast is always a little bit less, and we would have wine and oil if we wish it. There's also many other days during the fast because of the saint commemorated where we might have wine and oil and even fish. On Saturday and Sunday, we not only can have wine and oil, but fish as well. Like today, I think we're going to have fish. And from December 20th on, it's easy for us to remember because it's the day after St. Nicholas Day, there is no fish on the weekends. That's December 20th as far as the civil calendar, the church calendar, that's right. So there are some... there are some weekdays when wine and oil and fish are allowed. You have to look at the calendar for that. And we try to keep you informed about that. Now, there's some other things about fasting that some people read about and they get all gung-ho and they want to do it. And I've never recommended it. Because, generally, the people who want to do it are not doing some of the minimum things that they should be doing before they think about bigger things. You always have to start with small and build up. If you start with big, you're going to fall. But if you start with small things and increase, then that is a good thing. So there is, in the typicon, And this especially is prevalent in monasteries. And some lay people can do it too. They don't eat until the ninth hour. The ninth hour would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then would be Vespers, and then after that would be a meal. That would be the first meal, and in some cases, the only meal of the day. I don't recommend this, because it is better if you would pray more during the fast. It would be better if you follow the fast strictly, as the Typikon says, if you are not accustomed to doing that. It would be better if you were to come to the services more frequently or in a more lengthy fashion. Instead of just coming to Vespers, come to the vigil. Instead of just coming to liturgy, come to the Saturday service. It would be better if you were to prepare for communion frequently and have it every single Sunday. Those things are sort of the bare minimums on the ladder of asceticism. And these other things, like the idea of fasting until the ninth hour from all food, is ludicrous if you're not doing the other things first. We should only attempt what we're capable of. But sometimes, I've found as a pastor, we're capable of much more than we think. That's why there has to be an interaction between you and me. Because maybe you think you can't do something, but maybe you can with a little encouragement. Or perhaps even a bit of a rebuke. You can do things more when you're encouraged and when you do things together. So as a church, let's fast together, following the Typikon if we can. If we cannot, talk to me. And then we work out what you are capable of doing so that you would have a fruitful fast. Doing things in isolation is never a good idea. You should always do things together. Now, how does the fast apply to us? A lot of people don't understand why we fast. We fast because fasting really does make you smarter. That might not be an incredibly spiritual way to say it, but it's really true. Fasting increases your intelligence, your wisdom. It makes us open to God filling us with His Spirit. If you ask me how, I have no idea. I just know that it happens. And the church knows that it happens. So when we follow the fasts, when we attempt to fast, then we are more open to God talking to us. It assists us in our spiritual life. It's not just a mortification. It's not just giving up good things for no good reason. It's because fasting gives us temperance and gives us sobriety and helps us to be just sharper of wit so that we can see things that we need to see. I talked in the sermon about the fact that we're all alike, really. We're all on the road with wounded by sin. But much of our sin, every single one of us in this room does not see our sins as they really are. We actually see ourselves as better than we really are. Well, when you fast, you start to see not only how you really are, but also how God is even more so. And then you see the mercy of God can help you with your sins. It's very, very important to fast for this reason. I also mention again that we fast not as the world fasts. During this period of time, the world is having parties. Now, what are you going to do when you go to a party? I'll tell you, I've gone to them before. You can pretty successfully keep your fast. If you want to, you can. Now, perhaps your belly will tell you, oh, I must eat what's put before me. A funny story about that. One time I went to a party, one of those office parties, you know, where the boss invites everybody and everybody needs to go. And it was catered. And there was mounds of food everywhere. There was huge amounts of every kind of food you could think of. Shrimp, crab, lobster, roast beef, chicken, all kinds of stuff. There was so much fasting food there that I could have eaten for a week. So I get my shrimp and my crab and, you know, some things and sit down. And my Orthodox friend who also worked there sits down with his plate piled high with beef and chicken and gravy and all kinds of stuff. And he says, well, you know, you've got to eat what's set before you. Well, he had set it before himself. You don't need to do that. You can keep your fast if you try during an office party. Perhaps it's more problematic when you go to your parents' house. But there's always a way to keep a fast in spirit. So when you have something to eat at your parents' house, it's not fasting, if you choose to do that, if you think that's the best thing to do, and it might be, then you don't have to have seconds. You don't have to have ice cream on your pie, or even pie at all. You see, you can keep your fast in spirit. And that's very, very important. Because those times when we're challenged is when we really see what we're made of. If you only fast when it's convenient, or when there's only fasting food available, then that's not really much to say. It's real easy right now to fast this morning. When we have breakfast or lunch, it's going to be really easy for everybody to fast because there's going to be fasting food. But the challenge is to fast in other times as well. You have to use your judgment about whether or not you should eat other foods that are not fasting when you're with your parents and such. There might be a time to do that. But make sure it's not your belly telling you to eat, but instead that it's the right thing to do. And the way you can know is that you go away from the table and you're not stuffed. If you're stuffed, I guarantee you, it was your belly that told you to eat those foods and not discernment. So please talk to me if you have any questions about fasting whatsoever. If you're not accustomed to fasting, if you'd like to increase your fasting, if you don't understand it, if you don't like it, talk to me. Because otherwise, how can we communicate about it and how can I help you? So, as I said, the fast begins today, and of course it will end on December 25th, which is January 7th on the civil calendar next year, with the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.